The GAA Hour with Colin Parkinson is sponsored by AIB, proudly backing club and county.
I'm not finished yet. It took me a long time to get here.
Both players have spoken with each other, and they regret what happened. They've had a frank discussion with each other, and they're both of them are keen to now focus on getting back their county jerseys.
That these fellas will get such a f***ing shell shock next Saturday evening that we'll put them back in their f***ing houses for f***ing 10 years.
All right, you're welcome along to the GAA Hour. This is the football show, and this is the Congress show. So we had to split out the two podcasts because way too much to talk about here. We have Jarlett Burns coming up on the show to talk to us about the new proposals from Pádraig Duffy and what his thoughts are on it, and his thoughts about the GPA, and his thoughts about the criticism from players of him and of the GAA, and the big disconnect that a lot of players are saying is there between GAA administrators and the players. Mikey is here with me today, better known on the Hurling podcast. Mikey, welcome to the football show.
I'm glad to be here. Just repeat championship structures over and over again. That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Keane is still here, getting a little bit tired here, so we won't keep him for too much longer.
Yeah, thanks very much.
And Dion Fanning is here, who spent all weekend in Croke Park, in Croke Park at Congress. Dion, tell us how it went.
Oh God, it was an experience that I never ever want to go through again.
Really.
It was probably the most interesting way of being completely bored out of your mind that you could spend a weekend, because, you know, it was watching people with kind of encyclopedic knowledge of the GAA rule book at work is quite a thing, and then because of what happened, it was kind of interesting, because there was this. As somebody said to me, one of the other journalists said to me one stage, imagine what this was like before the internet, because at least you could actually escape.
Yeah.
And get out of there. But like when the Super 8 motion was passed, to watch this kind of, you know, this kind of disconnect happen, where everybody in the hall thought they were making, because it was all, you know, everyone was saying, let's embrace change, let's not show that we're this stick in the mud organization, and yet outside there's this rage building at what they think is doing is a kind of, they've embraced change and everyone is furious about it. So that was kind of this interesting.
Yeah, was there a sense in there of the shitstorm that was kicking off on Twitter amongst players, former players and stuff, or were delegates kind of insulated from that?
No, because we had a really good lunch, so that was what was on people's minds. There wasn't any sense of that at all. Like, and the one thing you do pick up, even, you know, somebody who's never been to Congress before, and, you know, if I can impress upon the people who sent me that I never want to go back again, that there was, you know, that kind of hostility to, like, the GPA, the newer, you know, people talking on the floor about we don't need any more organisations, all this sort of stuff. Like, so that sense of we've got everything covered here, this is the place where everything can get done. It isn't reflecting the anger or dealing with the anger. It's just thinking that we can do things here. We don't need anybody else. And I think there's a kind of a genuine sense of that these other people, they don't need to pay attention to them.
If only they'd had access to our GAA or WhatsApp group, they could have got a good sense of one man's descent into madness. Dion's updates over the weekend were, I think there's a book deal in it, possibly. just publish his WhatsApp messages alone.
Yeah, well, that's true. But it's interesting, lads, about all this, and they talk about the disconnect between the administrators and the players. And, like, I mean, Kevin Riley's tweet kind of summed it up, and he said 70% of players rejected the Super 8 proposal, 76% of delegates supported it. Now, that is a disconnect, no matter what way you look at it. That's a huge disparity in what the players want and what the administrators want. So when you're looking at it on that face value, it's almost like these dinosaurs think they're running the show.
Yeah, I think if you look at it like that, and you look at it based on those statistics and that sentence you're after putting together, that's exactly what you think.
Yeah.
But I don't think that that's the reality. And I don't think that the reality is actually being reported effectively. I would seriously question whether or not the outrage is actually as real as people think it is. I mean, if you can't poll the world based on Twitter, I'm on Twitter, I didn't rattle on about it all weekend, my view isn't taken into account, and there's thousands and thousands like me around the country who don't go onto Twitter to voice their their opinion on these sorts of matters. So 5 or 10 or 20 players who, I think the statistic is, they're about 1.5% of the playing population, that's the GPA members. I think there's serious question marks about their timing and their input into this, considering that this is a process that's been going on for a number of years. Everybody has the opportunity to go to their own club's AGM, vote in their county delegate. Their county delegate has the opportunity to, you know, give their view and the club's view and the people's view at their own county board, and the county board represent them then at these council meetings. I'm not saying that I agree with the proposals, but I think that I don't know if what's being reported as being the consensus of general GEA members and the players getting such a strong input on things is as valuable as people think it is. Yeah. Because let's face it, right? There was a proposal put to GPA members about having a two-tier system or something of that effect, and they rejected it.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody knows that that's the best approach. So if the players are against that, that immediately puts their credibility for me completely out the window.
And yeah, it has to be remembered that players have voted both for the FRC and for the GPA in two service to keep the provincial. So the idea that we listen to the players, I don't go along with it all. And you just have to see some of the tweets. And there's no disrespect to any of the tweets, like Joe McMahon says RIP club football. Now, that's complete nonsense, because if anything, club football, I know it's only 3 weeks, and you know, it's better than it was going to be this year. So like, there's a slight improvement. So to say RIP, well then it's been RIP for, you know what I mean, this year, yeah, and every other year.
Club football has been served well. Club players have been served reasonably well.
Then you hear this one from Austin Gleeson, you know, a brilliant footballer. So he says, our brilliant hurler, he says, the huge talk the last few years is player burnout, and yet they condensed the championship, meaning less time for rest and recovery. So Austin Gleeson wants more time for rest and recovery and less time for games. So, like, I mean, the players were going on about for the last few years that they won more games every 2 weeks. Now this happens. So Austin Gleeson is saying now he wants more recovery. Like, I mean, he wants a big gap. So, like, I mean, Podge Collins then makes a decent point about what's it going to do for the weaker counties. I can 100% take that on board. Weaker counties get nothing out of this. Eamon McGee says the level of disrespect shown to both club and county GA players today is staggering. I can see that as well. I think there's nothing... The Duffy's proposal is better than what we have now. My point is the fact, the disrespect that the administrators have not taken the CPA's position on this on board, who've asked for a 100-day postponement of the Congress decision. That's all, so that they can have an input.
To be fair, the CPA have only popped up in the last couple of months, and they have absolutely no standing whatsoever. They have no standing whatsoever. Like, that's the reality of the situation, whether people like it or not. They've only popped up in the last number of months. They haven't gone through the full process. My own club, there's no player from my club signed up to it. So while they do have a number of people who have signed up to it, they don't. My club delegate represents me and my teammates. The CPA currently don't.
Right.
The GPA currently don't. And I'm a club player. What happens? This is an inter-county change of format, and it hasn't really changed it massively from where it was. From a neutral person looking in as a fan, it's going to give us more top quality games at the right time of the season, which is what everybody wants to see from a spectator's perspective. From a player's perspective involved in those teams, they will have a fantastic opportunity to play top quality football at the right time of the year, which is what they want.
I think the outrage might be a little bit...
The outrage is from people talking about the club scene, but that's a completely separate issue. What they have done is taken away one of the big traditional things, which is the All-Ireland final in September. I don't think people are putting the significance on that they need it. That's massive. That's a much, much more important thing than having this Super 8 thing. This is after taking one of the main traditional things of the GAA calendar and turn it on its head. That the acceptance of that at Congress paves the way for a huge overhaul of everything. I mean, if they're willing to take the All-Ireland Finals out of September, the next step potentially is that they're going to be able to get rid of the bloody provincial systems, which everybody knows is broken anyway. So you can't have the complete overhaul that we all want in one fell swoop. I think it is going to take a bit of time, and I think the onus should be on now the likes of the CPA and the GPA and these people to actually stick to what they're saying and continue to engage, but engage in a proper, meaningful process, not we're going to rant and rave for a few months here. You know, stick at it and do it properly and engage with people and do the thing right, because I don't believe that they have given themselves enough time to do that in the short term.
Yeah, I think the GPA ignored this for 8 months. You know, they knew this was happening, they ignored it, and then they came out with a statement 2 days before saying that 70% rejected. And I think that contributed to the mass hysteria on Twitter amongst the players, as in, how dare they, 70% of us. But the idea that the players would vote for, would decide what championship, I don't agree with that. I think that the GPA, because I don't think players are worried about how will I win an All-Ireland easiest. So they're not going, they're as bad as the delegates at Congress voting for stuff. They're not objectively looking at it. You need past players. You need smart players, like, can set up an executive of from the GPA to the CPA to the universities and have everyone involved. But current players absolutely not should be voting for this either.
I think Keane has a good point there about how massive change, you can't change everything all at once. What's interesting is, there was a lot of anger this week, this weekend, but one thing that kind of wasn't, I don't think anyone really dwelled on it too much, was the fact that the moving of the finals and eradication of replays were both suggested last year and both defeated. So it shows that Pádraig Duffy, when, you know, kind of in the style of the Nice or Lisbon treaties, if you go away and ask a question again in a different way or add on another thing, like in this case, the Super 8s, all of a sudden you get a different answer to a question. So I'm not in favour of the Super 8s myself either, because I think it's putting the cart before the horse, and if there's going to be a group stage, it should be at the start. We probably don't need to get into the nitty gritty of that again, but it does show that Pádraig Duffy, you might agree, he's a very skilled politician and he knows how to get people to do things, and he's, and the way to get people to do things is to ask them over and over and over again, and eventually you'll get what you want. So I think he's not stopping where he is, I think, and I hope the provincial championships are the next things for Chapman Block.
Yeah, has there been any talk about that, Dion, that this is a stepping stone, or was the idea at Congress is this is the final thing, or
were you still awake?
We'd moved on. There were a lot of motions to get through, Woolly, you know. The thing that was interesting as well, I thought, was when you talk about the GPA, was that Dermot Early, I thought when he addressed the meeting, he wasn't very good. I was just sitting there like, you know, to be honest, I was like, who's this guy? And then I suddenly said, and I said, he's not making a very good case. He was sort of, his speech wasn't very convincing.
Okay.
Which I maybe.
You just had a big lunch.
No, it was pre-lunch.
Okay.
Just hungry.
Yeah, maybe. No, it wasn't very. Jarlath Burns, I think, spoke just after him and made a much more impassioned case. Now, whether that was because they'd only just made a decision a few days ago or what, I don't know. I just didn't find him particularly persuasive as a speaker.
Yeah.
But I do think there's an interesting thing going on here, and if this is a stepping stone to more reforms, that the players, like, you look at, you know, and okay, there's other things that need to change, but you look at the idea of what the Super 8s would have been last season, and, you know, Kerry going to Castlebar or whatever, all these kind of fixtures that look exciting. And from a spectator point of view, it is really exciting. And as a spectator, I kind of find it interesting and exciting. But the players are going to be asked to do more and more of this. And this is where I think there is a bit of a disconnect, because, you know, the money is coming into the GAA. They've done something. There was an interesting, on the Friday when they made their speech, their finance guy spoke about revenues, and he said this thing, which people kept coming back to during the Super 8 motion. He said, we need to keep a little eye. He said, really careful. Everything is great. We need to keep a little eye on the attendances. Just keep. He kind of whispered it, like a doctor telling you your cholesterol is just kind of creeping up. You know, just keep a little eye on the attendances. But you can see everyone. Oh, what's this? People kept coming back to it the next day. Then the attendances are dropping, and they're dropping year on year. And the GAA have done something now, which means it's going to be more attractive. Their Sky deal is going to be more attractive to Sky, because they've got bigger matches.
Yeah.
But ultimately, there's a problem with this. If you keep getting all this money, if you're getting the money that Sky are getting, the people who make the occasions, who make these revenue-generating events, are excluded from the revenue. And that's the problem. And I think, in a strange way, you're still dealing with this huge elephant in the room with the GAA, which is the players create these massive events that people are paying multi-million euro deals for, and they're asked to do it for nothing.
Yeah,
and that's the problem. And today, you know, and this weekend, I felt that actually you've got this Congress saying we're not going to listen to the players, we're not going to, and everything they do that slaps them down, you're kind of not dealing with this big question that remains. Well,
maybe that's just any chance they get to put players in their place to make sure that they're not getting too big for their boots. And there's no doubt this is a slap in the face. And Dermot Early described it as a slap in the face to the GPA. But for them to sit around for 8 months and do absolutely nothing about this, it's incompetence. And I think Dermot used the excuse of the changeover. But, they had a proposal that went to Congress last year. It didn't even make the floor. Desi Farrell came out afterwards and said they were going to set up some independent working group. That bloody just went away. Absolute spoofery of the highest order from Desi. So then we find ourselves a year later, after Pádraig Duffy going and drafting his own proposal, the GPA had 8 months to oppose it, and they end up causing a bit of a shitstorm 2 days before, have all the intercounty players running for cover when acting like the GAA is the big bad wolf, when they had loads of time to sort this out, and not one player in all the outrage, not one player turned around and went, I wish our union would have helped us out and stood up for us. They don't blame their union, and their union have the power. That's what they're supposed to be there to represent the views of the players. And not one player tagged in the GPA and went, here, you've let us down badly here. Look where we are now. A lot of us didn't want this. What have you done for 8 months? It's like the GPA are bulletproof with these players, and I don't really get it. But
Keane, do or you can answer, you were a member, but do players actually see the GPA as a union? I don't think that's how they view them, really, do they?
I certainly didn't and don't.
They weren't when they started, they're not now.
Yeah, I think, I can remember that we delayed the start of National League games at one stage. There was maybe a 10-minute sit-in in the dressing room when there was an issue about grants at one stage or another. So I think at that stage, they were very powerful in that particular scheme of things. To be honest, I think they're a welfare body. That's really what they are in terms of their player welfare schemes and stuff like that. And there's no doubt about it. It's well documented that they do great work in that regard. But as regards being a full representation for the players on a wide range of other matters, I haven't seen it. But then again, I'm not privy to everything, but I certainly haven't seen it. There's no doubt everybody can tell countrywide that there's been a falling off in attendances at inter-county matches. There's a massive drop off in players continuing to play from underage level into adult level. And that's really the core problem. And I think that the reason that there has been the bit of outrage in the last number of weeks is really to do with that. It's, the inter-county senior football championship schedule, while it is important in the overall, it's maybe being used as a lightning rod here for everybody to air their grievances. Every club or every county board runs their club championships in a different format, which means fixtures are completely different. Some counties will run hurling and football, in opposition to each other. Others won't. There's a different number of senior clubs in one county to another. So it's all over the place. So to try and find a single centralised solution to that is next to near impossible. So every county board is currently running their own fixtures. In Meath, I've already had played two league matches and three cup matches. I've played five games already this season, and they've been played in the last five weeks in a row. Brilliant. Absolutely fantastic. No complaints. We're going to play probably nine league matches before we have our first round of championship. And I don't play hurling, but we're a dual club. The other lads, we played a league game yesterday. The lads are playing hurling next weekend. We football the following week. So they're playing every weekend. There are second team matches. There's all sorts of stuff going on all the time. And the biggest issue is that it's running in opposition at times to the county team. So if you have a player or a number of players involved with the county, you don't have them for your club. That is the biggest problem. And that will continue to be the biggest problem, because club championship matches cannot be played in the absence of your county players. Clubs would not tolerate it.
Yeah, well, I think
it's coming to that stage where I think it's coming to the point where if the fixtures are not sorted properly by condensing the inter-county scene, there's going to have to be a choice be made. You're either a county player or you're a club player, But it's very, you're not going to be able to be both.
Yeah, I think, well, in fairness with Park Duffy's, we're going to have to leave it here that most counties are going to be out at the end of July. So there's no reason why, instead of trying to do this thing, playing them at the same time, just wait till your county's out. I know there's a bit of kind of players are unsure of when they're going to start then, but if you start in August, you've August, September, you've two of the best months of the year.
But it's a fundamental issue. If you don't know when you're playing a couple of months in advance, well, then you're not going to bother.
Well, that's the big thing.
That's the problem. You have to be able to. This is a hobby at the end of the day. Most people plan their holidays around it so that they're around for games. They plan important events, weddings, all these sorts of things. They plan them around the schedule that they're given at the start of the season because they want to be available to play these games because they want to be there. If you don't give people the opportunity to know when they're playing in advance, that's why you lose people. You only have the lunatics like me or you who are mad to play football and just live by it. We're the only ones that will continue to play, and the people who don't have that same thing within their family group or with brothers involved in playing the team or cousins involved in playing, they won't stick at it.
Yeah.
And that's the fundamental issue.
To be fair, Duffy's doesn't do anything to help that. But anyways, we're going to talk to Jarlett Burns next.
I've had fellas follow me, and not just Cork lads, you know what I mean? It happens yeah. and it does happen, but I'll tell you one thing, it's a lonely spot, and the best thing you can do is keep moving. And I thought Connolly looked to be trying to do that the last night.
The camera show, it didn't look great. There was maybe they could say it was theatrical or whatever, but like, the reality is that there was contact, and I wasn't trying to win a penalty, I was trying to go out and win the ball.
You know, actually it's funny, your man Conan, what's his name on your programme, like, I was wondering, was he at the same match as me? He was kind of making out terrible, but unlucky to lose, like. Let's go. 10% luck, 20% skill, 15% concentrated power of will, 5% pleasure, 50% pain, and 100% reason to remember the name.
AIB, backing club and county.
Yeah, delighted to say now we have Chairman of the Standing Committee on Playing Rules and former Armagh midfielder Jarlett Burns on the line. Jarlett, I suppose I say congratulations to you. You stood up at Congress and you were really pro these changes, so they got through.
Yeah, they got through, and I suppose they're a compromise whenever you consider the constraints that we were left with. You know, any consultation with GAA members will tell us that firstly the current championship needs to change, and that the weaker or developing counties never wanted to be thrown into a B competition and just forgotten about because they have poor experience of that before. We also had the constraint of the fact that there was no appetite from the GAA membership to end the provincial championship. And, you know, the fourth thing I would have said was that, you know, if you look at the National League at the moment and why it's so popular, it's because, for example, in Division 1, you have the best teams playing against each other week in, week out. That's why the crowds are so big. That's what people want to see. So all of these things, all of these constraints, and based on the fact that previous attempts at change in proposals never met any support, meant that there were a fair few constraints that the Central Council had to go with, and based on those, and based on the fact that last year when we even tried to bring back the All-Irelands by 2 weeks and that failed, and replays failed last year, we brought the All-Ireland back a full month, and it flew through this time, and we have done got rid of replays. It's a step in the right direction, definitely, Colin.
Right, so you see this as a stepping stone for 3 years, but not the finished article by any means.
Yeah, because if you think about it, there are 37 CCCs in Ireland, 32 counties who make fixtures, 4 provinces who make fixtures, and Central Council who make fixtures. On Sunday, Croke Park, the CCCC, Central Competitions Control Committee, that was essentially them saying, we have done our bit, now it's your turn. So what they're saying there is provincial councils now have to step up to the plate and condense their championships. But if you listen to what their delegates, for example, John Prenty, who would be the Connacht secretary, spoke very positively about it. Ulster are very positively disposed to it. They have to fit into the national template. And next year, whenever it comes round to making the fixtures column, the provincial councils have said that they won't be found wanting in condensing their championships. But then comes the real challenge. And it's the 32 counties who make fixtures themselves. And I mean, I listen to your programme every week, Colm, and I hear you talking about the 13-day rule. And we all know that rule is routinely broken. broken in the GAA.
Yeah. And well, the 13-day rule is pretty much gone now with this new restructure, because there's pretty much 2 weeks between every championship inter-county game. So let's forget about the 13-day rule going forward. The only options clubs have now is to wait until their county is finished and then start.
Yeah, well, if you look at, for example, our own fixtures in Armagh this year, they start on the 30th of April and go on every week in the league until the 28th of July, and then after that we start our championship. Now, I know whenever you had Aaron Kiernan on before Christmas, he said that in our county we more or less have it sorted and it works really, really well for us. So it's up to other counties to essentially stand up and say, these are our fixtures, nothing is going to change, no county manager, no players group, nobody is going to change these fixtures. And I remember a few years, I think it was 3 years ago, I was on the GAA management committee, and we discovered that one county who was going very well had postponed its championship fixtures. And we called in the chairman and secretary. Now, the only way in which you could describe the conversation, it was foul and abusive, what we took from them. Liam O'Neill as a president of the GAA, Pádraig Duffy, the four provincial chairmen, four members of Ard Cóirlea, and two representatives of Congress. That's the only way you could say. I mean, they went out and slammed the door on us. We all looked at each other and said, what hope do we have nationally of fixing this, when that's the attitude of some counties towards us when we pull them in for changing the fixtures? So counties who are, and I understand why, for example, in a county, if they start winning and a county manager goes to the club county chairman and says, I want those fixtures postponed, and he says, no, we are not postponing them, very quickly a narrative goes around the county that the county board are not matching the ambition of the county team, and they're holding us back. And that can create a toxic atmosphere within a county. So very often the county chairman will take the point of least resistance and say, look, just go ahead. That needs to change.
Yeah, and I suppose, well, I mean, that needs to change, but that's not going to be an issue now, because there is absolutely no scope for club matches to go on during the inter-county season. So that's kind of a moot point now, really. Counties have no choice now but to wait until their county are out and then start. And the thing about that, Jarlath, is that club players are hanging around not knowing when it starts, because your county could be out unbelievably early. The first eight counties could be out in May. Then, you know, you could be out in July. When do you take holidays? When do you do it? So this has been sold as a great proposal for club players, just because the Dublins and the Mayos and the Kerrys get 3 extra weeks to play off their competition. The vast majority of counties, nothing changes. So I really just cannot comprehend how it can be sold as something that's good for club players.
Well, if you look at, for example, there's a number of things in that, what you say. Firstly, we have done away with the semi-finals in the league. So you're immediately gaining a couple of weeks extra there.
It's all up on top of each other now, Joe. I saw the proposal last night. I mean, the championship pretty much starts immediately after the league. Like, it's pretty condensed. And at inter-county level, that's fine. Players have a game every 2 weeks and that's what they wanted. But for club players, they're hanging around May, June, waiting for the county to get knocked out. They're not sure if they get knocked out. When do they take holidays? So their lives don't change at all for the vast majority of counties.
Yeah, well, if though having said that, Colm, there is going to be, whenever we look at it again, that template that is at the back of the revised format can be changed again. The National League can be pulled back by about another 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks, leaving space in there to start off the leagues and get those leagues started off. And, you know, if you think about it,
but then, Jarlath,
last year we couldn't get it back. They couldn't get the All Ireland pulled back 2 weeks. This year we got it pulled back by a month. This is a starting point. You know, we had to be realistic about what we could get through. Congress.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Jarlath. Right, and you have to be realistic, and I understand all that. But this has been pushed through. Administrators have voted directly against the wish of the players. Like, I mean, Kevin Riley tweeted and he summed it up. 70% of players rejected this. 76% of delegates supported it. You're one of the people that supported it. There's a serious disconnect there. Now, you cannot argue that there's not a serious disconnect there. The CPA are opposed to it, but the GAA are pushing it through. So the attitude there is, we know better. Like, that is not a healthy situation.
Let me deal with that. Let me deal with the GAPA firstly, because they give as one of their five reasons the lack of sufficient and meaningful consultation with players regarding all aspects of the proposal. Now, This proposal, I mean, I'm secretary of my own club. This came into my inbox on the 5th of August, 6 months ago. We were told, as all units were told, to consult widely with your membership on it. On the 17th of October, then, the clubs got the document. That was 3 months later. Now, in between that, the following week, there was a central council meeting. The GPA chairman attends that meeting as a representative of the players. They have all of the players' email addresses. At that stage, there was no issue with them setting up focus groups, going out around the country to have 10 full-time staff on their secretariat. They have a very, very well-staffed secretariat, meeting their players, talking to the players, explaining to them what it was, and going through all of that with them. On the 8th of February, right, 2 weeks before Congress, they sent a WhatsApp to their players, basically with the three proposals, yes or no. No educational process, no consultation, no focus groups, not even a survey monkey around those players to say, what would you like to see? Are you for or against the provincial championship, the backdoor, B championship, Champions League format? What would you like to see? Nothing. Now, for me, that is a serious leadership issue in the GPA. They were told about it on the 5th of August. The following week, the Central Council meeting, their representatives said nothing. There was a further meeting, an extensive document on the 29th of October, a Central Council meeting where their representative was at, where a one-issue Central Council meeting, where it was only discussed on the one-item agenda, they said nothing. Now, for them to say, firstly, lack of sufficient meaningful consultation, when it's their job to consult with the players, their job, with a well-staffed secretariat, 10 full-time staff, for our players, our county players, to get a WhatsApp 3 weeks before Congress, a simple yes or no, for me, is a player welfare issue.
That's the height of incompetence.
Totally disgrace. Now, I am not a GPA basher. I know an awful lot of my past pupils here in school who are in it. They speak highly of the work they do for interview skills, personal development stuff, all of the stuff that young lads need to perform at a high level. Now, I would say that, you know, procedurally, they're dead on. From a functioning perspective, that's okay. See, from a strategic level, that is a serious problem. If you want to talk about a disconnect, now, there is some disconnect between the GPA leadership and their players. They have every single player's email address. In my school, I wouldn't move 2 inches without informing my staff and sending out a survey monkey and saying, what do you think of this, that, or the other? And we move forward on that. And that's only 100 staff. They had the email of every single player. Why did they not properly consult with their players? It was their job to consult with players. And as a result of that, they created a narrative that the players were not properly consulted with. Now, for me, that's not good enough. And it's not acceptable. Now, with regard to the CPA, was set up on the 18th of October. I got an email to say that they were going to be setting up and would you like to join? And I joined them. And at that stage, I saw no constitution, no standing orders, no protocol, no principles even as to where, you know, what they were for, even if they didn't have a roadmap for the way forward.
Well, fixtures, I suppose, is what they were.
We all want to fix the fixtures, but it's how we fix the fixtures is the issue here. They then set up, you know, and I agreed with them, and I thought it was a great idea. But whenever I put in my email address, and I don't know if you joined the CPA, I felt I could join them. I played for reserve football up until last year, and I'm club secretary. It was open to administrators. I was found it a bit curious that all you had to do was put in your email address and tick a box and suddenly you remember the CPA. And I said to myself, now, I have just become a member of an association there. I hope they don't start making statements and claiming that I'm at supporting these statements. So we waited. Now, I'm not expecting a master's fixture plan from the CPA. But you know what I would have liked from them? I would have liked a few principles to say, this is what we are for and this is what we don't want. For now, for example, we are for or against the provincial championship. We are for or against the back door. We are for or against the B championship. We are for or against a Champions League format, 8 groups of 4. At least then they would have had something that they hang their hat on that people would say, well, that's not chiming with what central GAA is saying. Therefore, there is a disconnect. But you know what we have got from them? Nothing. Now, their suggestion was that we put Congress back 100 days. Now, they haven't a clue the way the GAA works. Congress, for all sorts of good reasons, also to do with the way the counts work and everything else, has to be on that weekend. That's a GAA rule.
Well, I think maybe the restructure could have been postponed.
Well, it could have been, but if at their launch...
That's not in until 2018, so there would be no problem putting that off for 100 days.
But you know, Congress is Congress. And if they had to have a proper proposal, they said a 10-year-old could do it. Well, let's see how they would have done
Darla,
it.
See, this is the thing. I was at the same thing. I was at their launch and I was thinking, I thought they might have had something concrete. And then I started thinking about it. That's actually the problem, is that everybody has their own one. The CPA The CPA want to sit down with the GEA, with the GPA, with the universities, and Niall Minas, some representative, because that... third level education competitions are not in short of a joke. They get no prestige because the league is running over on top of them. The early season competition is. Look at Coola there at the weekend. Beat Slot Neil. Who was watching it? Because there's a full round of league. Congress is on. Everything's overlapping everything. And the CPA want to sit down. They don't want to come with their one because that's the problem. Everybody has problems with other people's proposals. And that's just the way it works. What we want is for every stakeholder to get involved and come out with one that the GEA, the GPA, the CPA can all stand over. And that's really all they're asking for, because if they, I don't think they should be coming out and saying, this is our master plan, look at our ego, we're fixing this. Sure, I'll pick holes in it, you'll pick holes in it, everybody will, because they're coming from their side. You're coming from your side. The GPA will want the inter-county games. So why can't everyone agree on something and then have everybody on top of it? If you're going to fix it right. Instead of this, like the idea that this is for club players, Jarlath, I have to pull you up on it. It's not for club players. It's 3 weeks for Dublin and Kerry or Mayo. That's all it is. No other club player's life changes a jot. So to try and sell it for club, it's a barefaced cheek.
Well, I mean, that's your opinion, and you're entitled to your opinion.
Convince me otherwise, though, Jarlath, because
here's what I would say in response to that. And you make some very compelling points there. But when you are presenting a proposal to Congress, you have to be realistic about what you can get through to Congress on that year.
No. I think you're wrong on that. I'll tell you why. If the GPA, the CPA, and the GAA, if all of those three agree and the media agree on it, that'll fly through Congress. Like, if all the stakeholders agree, anything will fly through Congress. If it's reasonable, and if everyone's in agreement, it will be reasonable. Why would it not get through?
Well, I have seen other things where there has been a reasoned debate about it and everybody in favour of it, and it's gone to Congress and hasn't got the two-thirds majority. Now, one of the good things that happened on Saturday was that you only need 60% for two-thirds to get something across. Not any, you don't need to have a two-thirds majority, 66%. And that has stopped an awful lot of progress in the past. Now, I hear what you're saying. But we, on Saturday, we had to be realistic about what we could get through on Saturday. And what we got through on Saturday is a good starting point. Nobody is saying that this is a destination. It's a 3-year trial. And after 3 years, when everybody has sat down and seen how it works and the pitfalls and the good elements of it and the bad elements of it, well, then it can be, you know, it can be tried again. And, I think it's by the last week of July, there's 26 counties who are out of the championship. And that leaves all of August and September then for clubs. I agree with you. That might not be enough.
That's the case as it is, though, Jarlath. That's the way it has been anyways, because the August bank holiday is the quarterfinal. So every county outside semifinals are out anyways. So where's the improvement there, then?
There's another element in this that maybe people have forgotten about as well. It used to be if there was eight quarterfinalists and eight minor quarterfinalists. People always forgot that the minor teams who were in it, they caused havoc with their fixtures as well. But now, because the minor is going to be under 17, and because under 17s can't play senior football or hurling, it gives the fact that under 17 competition, none of those, that's not going to be an issue whatsoever with regard to fixtures. And that's something that was largely forgotten. I know when Armagh got to the minor final 4 years ago and won it, all of our championship fixtures had to be put back. So, you know, I would just say to people, give this a trial for a few years. It has been given overwhelming support in Congress. I hear what you're saying, Colm, but we also have to try and ensure that, you know, we have a proper championship, senior county championship, that does sustain over the summer. It does give us the profile up against competitor sports, that does give us that prime time place in the hearts and minds of the people. Now, even on Saturday, I spoke to a lot of delegates who were absolutely raging that the All-Ireland Finals had been pulled back from the third week of September, and saying this is doing away with all the tradition and all of that, and particularly in schools, whenever you go back to school, there's so much. But that's only in two counties. And all I would say is just give this a try and see how it goes.
Yeah, you see, that's the thing, but that's the attitude. Give it a trial, it's only a trial, and it's been sold on a trial. And I'd love for a structure to not have to be for not have the softener of, oh, it's a trial and then it's in. Like the Sky Sports came in on a trial as well. That was a trial basis, and the next minute it signed up for 5 years. So this idea that it's a trial, that's just a deflection, that's just some sort of sweetener, softener, and people are supposed to accept it. The next minute, because there'd be a huge increase in revenue from these extra games, that money will be depended on. So when we come to 3 years' time, like, I mean, you can't just go back and drop this extra money, because it's needed in places.
And it certainly is needed. I mean, again, going back to my time on management, we used to meet every week in Croke Park, every other week in Croke Park. At every single one of those meetings, on the agenda, there would be a proposal or a business plan from some county or some unit, which would have added up, all of them together would have added up to about €1 million. At every single meeting. And when you look at how the GAA spends its money, I think it was €24 million last year went back into those sort of projects.
So the motivation of this then is for increased revenue rather than which has been sold as. It's actually for more money.
Well, if it was for more money, why would we be doing away with replays, Colm?
But and sure, that's just optics. That's optics. I mean, you have to keep, like, if you're going to try and condense the season, you almost have to do that. But the extra revenue from the Super 8 will supersede the off chance of a replay a year. You're making a lot more money by doing away with replays and bringing in the Super 8. Like, I mean, sure, you don't need to be a mathematician to understand that.
Yeah, and one of the stipulations of that is that the admission fee into those games will be a lot less than the normal quarterfinal. Because they're not being held in Croke Park, there's a significant loss in revenue there. And the third point there is that a significant proportion of that money is going to be ring-fenced to help with coaching and games in the so-called developing counties or the weaker counties. And the second thing I would say is this with regard to GAA revenue. GAA is a very simple revenue model. This is not like, you know, Arsenal, for example. I support Arsenal. I know that people give off about Arsene Wenger, that it's all about if you're a shareholder in Arsenal, you're happy, but if you're a supporter, you're not. The GAA doesn't have shareholders. We have stakeholders. We are a community organisation, and we have a very simple business model. When we have money, we give out money. When we don't have money, we don't give out money. Now, when the soccer and rugby came to Croke Park, we made €20 million on that. Every penny of that went into a bank, and whenever the whole thing was over, it was all given out to various projects that had been well proposed and business plans put in and were sustainable. And the GAA really, really helped the infrastructure as a result of that. So this whole thing about the corporate GAA in bed with the commercial interests of the country, totally wrong. The GAA gives money out when we have money. And last year I was in Qatar, my daughter was over in Doha. And like, I would love to have been able to say to them, well, the GAA is going to give you £1 million to buy something, a proper field and a proper place to train and everything else. All around the Middle East, all around America, or even in England, in Manchester, for example, there's a serious need for facilities there. Every single study that we do in the GAA will show that we need to make significant investments. So I make no apologies for saying that the GAA needs to gather revenue and to be able to spend revenue, but on its people.
And that's fair enough. There's nobody doubting that the GAA like pumps money back into the association and can be proud of the facilities. I think a lot of county grounds around the country are just sitting there idle. There's money pumped into them and they're never used. You just look at a Moor Park, £1 million was put into it, and then they don't even get a home game against Dublin. It's sent to Nolan Park. So a Moor Park has brand new terraces, new facilities, and it's the most ever in it is 3,000 or 4,000. So it's a complete waste of money.
Yeah.
But the argument of the commercial side is that this is dominating the landscape of the GAA to the point that making money and Sky deal, the grassroots are not getting to see the games with the Sky. Nobody's watching it. That's an example. This new Super 8.
Let me take you up on that one, Colin. Can I just ask you a question on this? 7 years ago, Setanta came in and took Saturday night games away from TG Cahir and they became pay-per-view. Why did nobody complain about that?
Well, because that service wasn't already there.
It was. I worked for TG Cahir. TG, I used to spend
Satanta do the Saturday night games.
We did Saturday night games for years, and we woke up one morning and Satanta had that deal. And not one person said a word about it. So what's the difference between Satanta showing our Premier Sports now Saturday games and Sky showing games?
I think the difference is one is league and one is championship, and the other one is one they were free to air. The championship are free to air, and now they're gone to Sky. Sky is a lot more expensive. It's 30 euros per month to get Sky Sports in, and that was already available abroad on Premier Sports. So there's a whole lot of different reasons why the Sky deal hasn't gone down well.
Let me ask you a question, and I know you're here to ask me questions. So I want to ask something else. Arma has a service called Arma TV. In fact, they won the McNamee Award there for the excellence of its service. So if I want to watch a match, I don't want to go to the Athletic Grounds to watch a club championship match or whatever. I pay £5, I think it is, depending on the match, to watch the match on Arma TV. That money is the Arma made 20,000 in that last year. It's a very important source of income for us, and that was pay for play. What's the difference between that and Sky? I'd say I spend maybe about £40 over the year watching games from Armagh. If I was away or if I was on holidays or whatever. What's the difference between that and Sky?
Well, I'm not sure. It's the first I've heard about. I suppose that's money you're paying is going straight to the Armagh County Board, no?
And is the Sky money not going straight to the GAA, which is going straight out to all of those infrastructural projects that I told you about?
Yeah, look, I'm not too sure. I'm not too sure about that.
No, I am very sure. Arma to charge from £3 to £5.
I don't think it's a fair comparison.
Why not?
I don't know. Well, TV3 had the matches on free to air. Now Sky have them, so that's part of the problem.
I know, but you know why TV3?
They were free to air. The option was there. So now they're gone to a €30 extra a month. So that's why I don't think you're comparing like to like. We have a provider there that would be more than happy to show them free to air. That's the problem.
Yeah. And TV3 is fantastic. I don't get TV3 in the north. TV3 isn't available in the north, and that is why
BBC show them for free.
Who?
BBC show them.
I know. Do you really think that BBC is going to get the GAA the proper price? The GAA actually now the GAA offered the BBC the matches free if they would show them nationally free across the water. Now there should be a nugget of information for them, and they politely declined. You know, whenever you're involved in the middle of all of this, as I am day in, day out, I could be in Croke Park 2-3 times a week, you get a different narrative on the reality of what it's like.
Yeah, you do, Jared, and I'd say on that as well, right? And on that point, you're in Croke Park a lot. Like, there's an accusation, like, you're an ex-player, right? And I've talked about this disconnect. There's an argument. I had a search down through your Twitter handle there earlier on today, and one said, like, another GAA suit. Another one was, Burns, you're a fraud. Another one said, Jarlett Burns is so entrenched in the GAA pocket he can't see what's happened. That's a perception out there about you now, because you're so pro GAA, you never criticised them, and it almost seems like you're part of their propaganda now, that you're sent out to back up their proposal, and you know that's the way it works, and that perception can't sit well with you.
No, I mean, That's a totally wrong perception, because I'll tell you what, I'm currently secretary of my club. Before that, I was chairman of my club. I was playing with my club up until the last year. All my children played GAA. The GAA is all I know in my whole life. Now, I didn't ask to become a part of this GAA, if you want to call it, Croke Park setup. But whenever Sean McCaig was GAA president, he asked me to become the very, very first chairman of the players' committee, which was set up, I suppose, as a counter committee to the GPA, which was being set up at the time. 3 years I did in Central Council then, as a young lad, still playing club football every week and just out of county football. And I can tell you, whenever you're thrust into that situation and all of the questions that you might have, Colm, or other people might have, I had an opportunity to ask them and be answered. And you very, very quickly see that there is a bigger picture, and a picture that you have to take into so, so many other considerations, and the reality of life in the GAA. Now, when Sean Kelly took over, he asked me to stay on as Players Committee Chairman and keep the very lucrative Central Council position with all the tickets and all of the lovely seats. I turned them down and I became SCORE National Chairman. Now that's hardly a suits position. I don't think there'll be too much controversy about that. But I did that for 3 years. I then was a member of the Medical, Scientific and Welfare Committee and was made chairman then of the 125 Committee. Now, and then I became the Central Council Delegate for my county, and now I'm the committee for the Standing Committee on Plain Rails. And if there's anything that I think is wrong, I am very, very quick at saying it's wrong. For example, when the GPA deal came out at the start, I voted against it. The only person who voted against it because they had not handed over player image rights to the GAA. And I says, I am not voting for that. I went against everybody on it. But I'm not just going for the sake of it to go against just because I want to fill in some narrative that I am a grassroots person. So that means then that you must be against everything that Croke Park stands for. Some of the best GAA people I know are members of staff in Croke Park.
But Charlotte, this is the argument that's going to be made. And you've already said it. You make no apology for the commercial, ambitions of the GAA, and that money's needed. The commercial ambitions are linked to the intercounty game. The intercounty game is made bigger. Club football has absolutely no benefit to the GAA commercially. Has none. And that's why they get screwed. So that's why they're throwing a dog a bone by 3 weeks, and the 3 weeks is a completely misleading, because the 3 weeks only benefit a couple of teams, and then club players still don't know when their championship's on. And this has been going on for years and for years and for years. And whether you like it or not, the GAA has directly gone against a request from the CPA to wait and negotiate this in 100 more days. The GPA has, and I take your point on the GPA, they've sat around doing nothing. The CPA have at least are newly formed, and they didn't wait around on this. But the GPA, why could it not wait 100 days and get full agreement on this and have no controversy? And instead of this nonsense about a trial, why not just say, right, this is it now. All parties are in agreement. This is not about the GAA. And, I don't know how the GAA can sit easy. Like, the reaction from players over the weekend has been... I've never seen anything like it.
The reaction from some players, from some people.
It's been a huge cross-section of players, Charlotte.
And the reason for that is because the incorrect narrative was sent out from the GPA saying that players were not consulted, and from the CPA, who did not even have one principle, never mind a proposal of their own. Not even one principle. It's all very easy to say that we should have done this, that or the other. Those proposals that were passed at Congress were a year and a half in the making. Last year, whenever Éagan Farrell took over as Uachtaráin, he said that he was going to try and do something about fixtures. So he sent out to all of the counties to say, come back with your own proposals and consult. And the GPA came back with proposals. Did you see them last year, by the way, the GPA proposals?
Yeah.
I mean, 40 extra games, 28 games to be played to get rid of 8 teams. Where was there going to be any club activity in there? I do not know.
Playing a provincial
championship just for the crack to increase your standing in the Champions League format. I mean, it was a mess.
Will they try to please everyone is their problem.
Yeah, and I don't say that with any disrespect for the GPA. But what I say is this. That document was an example of how difficult this task is and how challenging it is to please everybody that you have to please. And this is not easy. And I think people need to realise that it's not easy. And I take your point that, perhaps if the CPA had been set up 6 months previously, it would have been, I think all of these things could have been achieved. But they start, that document that took a year and a half to produce after all of the stuff that was put out from the start of Éagan Farrell's presidency only actually was finalised on the 18th of October. And the following day, it was announced that the CPA was being set up. And I just think that the CPA still have a real solid role in minding counties that are telling players that they can't play with their clubs and county managers and all of that sort of stuff.
But again,
I just think they're a wee bit late on this.
Right, OK, Charlotte, we've probably gone over time. You make a lot of interesting points there. Thanks very much for taking the call.
No problem at all, Colin. No problem.
Yeah, interesting stuff there, lads, from Jarlett. You know, he paints a different picture. Well, especially from my point of view, the GPA. I didn't realise that WhatsApp text. And it kind of put a bit of context on this 70% overall majority. Like, I mean, how many players actually know what they were voting for if it was a yes or no kind of WhatsApp kind of engagement, and there's eight months to do something about this, and it's coming down to that. So,
well, yeah, the American pollster Nate Silver has a podcast, 538, and every week he has the first question is good use of polling or bad use of polling. And I would say if a text message fired out would fall into the Donald Trump camp of bad use of polling, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't seem to be a way of getting a good representative sample.
A Twitter poll would definitely be the way to go.
And he even said in that 8 months that Duffy had a couple of meetings that a GPA representative was in on. So, like, I mean, they have been well aware of this process. They've ignored it. Then they send a wishy-washy WhatsApp poll to their players and then rock the boat 2 days before Congress. And now all the players have a picture in their heads that the GAA are completely going against their wishes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then you have, like, I'm a big defender of the CPA, but then you have Keane Ward saying things like at the top of the show that he's had no contact with the CPA. The CPA don't necessarily represent him or anyone from his club. Now, the CPA are only in existence, like, it's not that long, so it's they have to get around to the whole country. But it's interesting to hear Keane saying they are not necessarily representing me.
Do you think the CPA suffered at Congress because of the kind of historic hostility to the GPA?
Maybe. And they could have, but I don't think any administrators like player power, you know. And if a body that's representing players is going to frighten them immediately, like, they care, like you said, about attendances and about revenue. They do not like player. They don't like an uprising from players. And when the GPA started first, they were a rebel force, and they caused administrators a lot of you know, a lot of headaches.
Do you think that, okay, maybe members of the GPA weren't that well informed, do you believe all the delegates of Congress were that well briefed? Do you believe that they truly represented the views of every, you know, a democratic view of the county, of the clubs in their county? You know, because I think this is the question people are asking. Like, the example of Tipperary, I'm not saying Tipperary football team should have a veto on things either, but, you know, there is a suggestion there that their views weren't particularly taken into account.
No, you see, they weren't taken into account, but this is the problem with Congress. You have delegates that are voting for playing issues, and that's, you know what I mean? You're running into trouble then straight away. Like, I mean, it's not a fair process. There's absolutely no doubt about that. But then again, you can't allow players do it either.
Well, you see, I think if you were there on Saturday and you weren't looking at Twitter or anything like this, and you would have seen this framed very simply, you would have thought, these guys can't mess up another opportunity to make some changes like this. And that was
that's the way it was sold.
That's the way it was sold. And, you know, and to be fair, they even said, because so few people, GPA spoke against it, and Cork delegates spoke against it, and then they said, does anyone else want to speak against it? Because everyone who was coming up forward to speak was speaking in favour of it, so they wanted to actually get some more opposition, and there wasn't any opposition.
Yeah, but it has to be pointed out, lads, and we did point it out at the top of the show, it's by far and away a better structure than what we have now. Is that fair to say?
No, I think it's the wrong way around. The group stage at the end of the championship.
But that ensures that the best teams are playing each other in the group. If you put the groups at the start of the championship, and I see Conan's championship restructure, you still have Wicklow playing Dublin in that structure. Like, you still have mismatches in that. This one guarantees that the eight best teams in the country play in the round robins, you know. So from that regard, like, everyone talks about Champions League, sure, there's complete turkey shootouts in that as well. And the top two, we watch the Champions League model, and Dion, you know this better than anyone, isn't the starting group games the most boring, predictable thing ever? People are championing this structure.
It's destroying it. And, like, and this is the thing, and this slight problem even with saying about the weaker counties, and, you know, will the weaker counties get a chance, you know, to get to the semi-finals under the new structure? Will Tipperary do what they did? In a way, like, this is the it's like the World Cup. You know, when a team starts doing well, you suddenly find yourself sort of thinking, I hope they don't do too well, like some underdog, because you want the big teams in the big games.
Yeah. And this,
when you look at it again as a spectator, you look at it and think there's going to be some exciting games, and maybe they won't have the knockout element which will be missing, but there'll be exciting games, a different feel to them, people, you know, teams travelling to different parts of the country. And I do think you will have these big games that are going to excite people.
Yeah.
And that's been kind of lost from the players' point of view.
The fact that, and Conor McManus mentioned that he was on the football show earlier on, like, it's hugely exciting for someone who's in the mix on that top eight. Hugely exciting. It doesn't help weaker counties. You can't get away from that. There's going to be eight weaker counties out in May. And they've no... That's them losing in their provincial championships, and then they're losing the qualifiers. that's a huge flaw in it. The club situation is a bit of a flaw, but they have tried to remedy that in some way. Now, I'd love to have seen them remedy the start of the year, maybe. But if Pádraig Duffy says that this is a stepping stone to more, I just think the outrage is a little bit over the top on it. And if the CPA had never come into existence, and this is an important point, if the CPA wasn't here, the GPA wouldn't have opened their mouths about this. Mm. And this kind of restructure would kind of be celebrated as in, this is a lovely step forward for the association, that we actually have good teams playing each other. And this opposition wouldn't really be there.
Yeah, but look, Twitter exists to give a voice to this outrage. Just look at the reaction to Rory McIlroy playing around the golf with Donald Trump. You know, that's not normal people's reaction. That's Twitter reaction.
Is the outrage representative, like Cian said? Is a handful of 20 or 30 inter-county players following the GPA's lead 2 days before, is that representative of everybody?
I don't think your average club player, i.e. me or a handful of lads we work with in the office, I don't think they're that bothered by it from the point of view of being club players. I think there's probably large constituencies in the 10 or 12 counties that take hurling seriously who are probably not very happy about this. There's definitely going to be pockets of people who are outraged, but whether it's the majority of the Gaelic Athletic Association, I don't believe it is.
Yeah, it's hard to know. I'm not sure if it is either.
No, but I think the other thing is the inter-county players is something different now as well, and this is the other thing, the demands that are going to be made on them. And if they change it again, if you got more into a kind of Champions League structure, any structure where there are more matches, there'll be more demands made on players and what that means. And I think, you know, I was thinking it's a bit like in the Premier League where you have all this money that came in and the people that are marginalised are supporters. And fans complain in England, you know, that they have to travel all over the country at different times and no one cares about them. The prospect of revenue here is going to drive it as well.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. And that's where I think you will reach a kind of a fork in the road and people saying, right, what are we going to do? Because we can get more and more revenue for bigger and bigger games. There's people saying the commercial arm of GA are driving this. But again, the players, the inter-county player who's been going to be asked to provide the entertainment is going to just be asked to do it, yeah. You know, what on the basis of decisions that they've got no say in.
The commercial arm of the GA making decisions doesn't bother me that much because, you know, they're making rational decisions for a reason, which is obviously to make money, so they're going to try and take the best option possible. I kind of wonder sometimes about Congress, and I think it was reflected in the vote on the CPA official recognition, which didn't happen because it seemed like Nikki Brennan, like, played a stormer by, like, they were lining up delegates to absolutely lambaste the Club Players Association and saying, what do we need, a linesman association, do we need an umpires association, we don't need these. And they were getting to the line where you were getting the club players representatives, as they say they are, like, criticising club players, and this vote was going to be 99 against and 1-4 or something, and it took Nikki Brennan to stand up and actually stop this from happening. So there, I do wonder whether Congress can be a bit of a bubble, you know, if you're not like Dion on WhatsApp and Twitter and looking for outside constantly. But is Congress in itself a bubble? Are the people in there thinking we're making decisions for Congress, we're making decisions because that's what we do once a year, or are they actually thinking about the bigger picture, which makes me wonder sometimes?
Yeah, I think everybody's playing their own game instead of maybe looking into everybody else's kind of, looking at a kind of holistic view of it. Everybody's kind of keeping their own house in order, which is disappointing. But anyways, lads, we're going to have to leave it there. That's all we have time for this week. We'll be back on Thursday with two podcasts, Hurling and Football. I'm pretty sure, Mikey, there's Hurling this
politics,
weekend.
No.
We're done with politics. This is our second Congress. We did a pre-Congress and a post-Congress, and that's all it is. That's all we have for you until next year. Until we send Dion, he'll forget the horrific experience and he'll be back in the mix again. Good luck.
I'm not finished yet. It took me a long time to get here.
Both parents have spoken with each other, and they regret what happened. They've had a frank discussion with each other, and they're both of them are keen to now focus on getting back their county jerseys.
That these fellas will get such a f***ing shell shock next Saturday evening that we'll put them back in their f***ing asses for f***ing 10 years.
The GAA Hour with Colin Parkinson is sponsored by AIB, proudly backing club and county.